So I want to ask you a question. You paying attention? I want to ask you a question. Very simple question. What is something simple that you can do that can strengthen every relationship that you have? Just something simple today. We're not talking about something big today. Just something that will strengthen your marriage, strengthen your home, strengthen your relationship with your parents, with your kids, strengthen your relationships at work, strengthen your relationship with individuals in this church. What's something simple that you can do, that all of us can do? It's not out of our reach. Every person in this room can do this. Something simple. As you turn your mind what that could be and what we could be talking about today, I want you to think about the Apostle Paul. Did the Apostle Paul have good relationships with Christians? Did he have a good relationship with those churches and those Christians that he wrote letters to? You know that he did. You read it in those letters and you see the relationship and how close they were. You know, we're talking this year about standing in the gap, and the focus for the month of November was standing in the gap to foster stronger relationships with one another in the church. Did Paul foster strong relationships with his brothers and sisters in Christ? You know that he did. What was something that he did in his letters? I want to share with you just very quickly, and I'm going to put these verse references on a slide towards the end of the sermon, but we're just going to jump through some verses here real quick. I want you to see how many times Paul did this. And you're going to get the sense of where we're going in this lesson by just looking at these verses. What did Paul do? He did a lot of things, but what was something simple that he did that strengthened relationships with his fellow Christians? Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. Paul said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. "I thank my God always concerning you." Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. "We give thanks always to God for you all." Now, he doesn't say y'all, all right? There's not an apostrophe there. "But for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." A little later on in the same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. "For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all of the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren." And you almost think he does a copy-paste, because later in the same lesson, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, "We are bound, brethren, to give thanks for you always to God." You getting the drift of Paul's letters? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. "I thank God as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day." And then the little book of Philemon in verse 4, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers." What did Paul tell everybody, nearly everybody that he wrote to? "I thank God for you." It's as if he picked up his phone every day and sent him a text message. "I thank God for you." Did you see how many times? We put on the screen 11 verses. 11, and he does it more than that. You got to find it where it's not in those specific words. So he did it more than that, where he kept telling people that he knew and he loved, "I thank God for you." And I want us to think about that today. And I want us to think about that in a very practical, in a very personal way. As I asked at the beginning of the sermon today, what's something simple? You getting the drift? You getting the idea? What's something simple that you can do that will strengthen every relationship that you have. I thank my God for you. What I want to do this morning is I want to take these three lines and just divide them up and think about them. I want to start by talking about those first two words, I thank. And I want to encourage all of us to cultivate a heart of gratitude. Our world is doing everything it can to cultivate your heart, but in a totally different direction. I want to encourage you to cultivate within yourself a heart of gratitude. How do you do that? How do you develop a heart of gratitude? You've got to make up your mind and realize that gratitude is a choice. It's a choice that you make. It's like every other attitude that you have. Sometimes we talk about attitudes and we say people need an attitude adjustment. The reason is because attitude is a choice. You get to choose what kind of attitude you're going to have. And the attitude of gratitude is an attitude that you get to choose. Don't worry about the circumstances. Don't worry about what's going on around you. You get to make a choice regardless of what else is happening. That's what gratitude is. That's what every attitude is. And that's why I've got Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 on the screen. That's the fruit of the Spirit, nine parts of the fruit of the Spirit, where God says this needs to be you regardless of what else is happening. Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. How can you do that? You're not looking at circumstances. You're making up your mind to make a choice. So the last two words of Colossians 3 and verse 15 are be thankful. Are you? He doesn't tell you what to be thankful for. He doesn't tell you who to be thankful for in that verse. He just says, be thankful. What is that? It's a choice. Have you chosen to have a heart of gratitude? You see, perspective is something that is powerful. Your perspective about things in life is powerful. How you see things is powerful. That's why Paul says in Galatians 3 and verse 1, if then you've become a Christian, if then you've been baptized into Christ and you've been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above. Why does he say if you're a Christian, you need to do that? Because perspective is powerful. If as a Christian you will seek the things that are above, guess what that's going to do? It's going to affect everything else about you. It's going to affect everything about your life. That's how powerful your perspective is. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, Paul says, for we don't look at the things which are temporary. We look at the things that are eternal and not at the things that are temporary. How can you look at the things that are not seen? How can you look at the things that are eternal? It's your perspective. You make up your mind, that's where I'm going to focus. And that's where gratitude comes in. You've got to have the perspective of being somebody who's thankful. How do you do that? You actively, daily, you actively look for things around you that are blessings from God. How many things around you are blessings from God? Listen to James 1 and verse 17. Every good and perfect gift comes from Santa Claus and is brought to you on December 25th. Is that what James 1 and verse 17 says? Did you know Santa Claus was in the Bible? Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Everything in your life, every blessing you have in your life is from God. Do you actively look for those blessings? Sometimes we're actively looking for other things. Do you actively look for blessings? So in Matthew 6 and verse 26, where Jesus begins this paragraph in verse 25, and you know what he says? Three easy words. Three easiest words in all of the Bible. You know what he says in verse 25? Do not worry. Ha! Piece of cake. Got that all day long. Easy. How do you not worry? Verse 26, you know what Jesus says? Look at the birds. Look at the birds. You just told me not to worry and you're telling me to look at the birds? Actively look for blessings in your life. Change your perspective Do the birds, Jesus' point, do the birds go around worrying about what they're going to eat? Do the birds go around worrying about life? Nope. Why not? Because birds just are birds. Birds know that God's going to take care of them. How have we gotten so smart that we don't think God's going to take care of us? Look at the birds, Jesus says. Have an attitude of gratitude. Change your perspective and look at those things that God is supplying for you. And so I would encourage you, as we talk about cultivating a heart of gratitude, I would encourage you, some of you already do this, if you're struggling with cultivating a heart of gratitude, I would encourage you to keep a list, a gratitude list or a gratitude journal. If you're struggling with do not worry, you're struggling with that, then start keeping a list of things that you're thankful for. Every day, go to that journal and write down, here are three things today that I'm thankful for. They may not be big things, and I would encourage you not to make them big things. Every day to go down and write three things that I'm thankful for. And the next day, go and write down three more things. And maybe you can repeat some of the things you've already written, but I would encourage you not to do a copy and paste, but to come up with some new. Here are some things today that I'm thankful for. You know how you come up with those things to be thankful for? You actively look for them. And then what that list becomes, what that journal becomes, it becomes like a scrapbook for you to go back and to look at all that God has done in your life and all that you have to be thankful for. Because when you find those days where you're struggling with being thankful, you can just look back at what you already had on your list and say, wait a minute. If I was thankful for that before, I can be thankful for that today. That's how we develop a heart of gratitude. Final thing I want to say about this point. In order to cultivate a heart of gratitude, what we've got to do is get into this book. Meditate on this book. Memorize verses out of this book, particularly verses that have to do with Thanksgiving. Not the holiday, with the heart. With the heart of Thanksgiving. In Psalm 136, the Bible says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. You know why? For He is good. Memorize that. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. You go to the end of the psalm, and it ends the same way. Oh, give thanks to God, for He is good. Memorize verses in the Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, you know the next three words? So is he. As a man thinks in it, as a woman thinks, as a child thinks in his or her heart. Does your heart think thankfulness? Does your heart think gratitude? If so, that's what you'll be. But if you don't think it, if you're not a thankful person, if you haven't developed that heart, then that's not going to be you. Fill your heart and your life with Scripture. You know Colossians 3 and verse 16. You know it's a verse that says that we are to be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. But do you know that that is the end of the verse? Do you know how the verse begins? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's how you develop. That's how you cultivate a heart of gratitude. So let the word of God get in there. I thank. Do you? Number two, I thank my God. I want to encourage you, once you have worked on cultivating a heart of gratitude, I want you to celebrate your gratitude with God. Do you do that? You might, I want you to see there's a difference there. You can have a heart of gratitude that never celebrates your gratitude with God. You can be a happy, thankful person and never celebrate that with God. And so I want to encourage you, when you have developed and you've cultivated this heart of gratitude, I want to encourage you to make a habit. To make a habit to thank God for everything that you see. Everything that you see. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, underline it in your Bible. Give thanks to God for all things. Oh, Paul, you're exaggerating. Did Paul say, parentheses, this is hyperbole? No. Give thanks to God for all things. When you're driving down the road, is that stressful? When you're driving down the road and you see a beautiful blue sky, when you're driving down the road and you see a rainbow and you get your phone out, why don't you do it? And you get your phone out to take a picture of this beautiful rainbow while you're driving 80 miles an hour down the road when you shouldn't be doing that in the first place. Put your phone down and thank God for the beautiful rainbow. Thank God for the people in the cars around you. Thank God for the trees. Everything that you see when you walk into your house, thank God for your house. Thank God for the people in your house. Thank God for the refrigerator. You say you're going to go overboard in this. God says give thanks for all things. Celebrate your gratitude with God. Don't just give thanks to God for everything that you see. Here's a challenging one. Give thanks to God. Make a habit of giving thanks to God for every person. Every person? That's what God says. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, first of all, that prayers and supplications and intercession and giving of thanks. Oh, Paul, I wish you would have left that part out. He didn't. First of all, he says, I charge you that prayers and supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for, last two words of the verse, all men. All people. I want to challenge you. Make a habit to talk to God and thank Him for every person. Every person? Verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority, even those people. You mean the people I don't like? God says for all people, give thanks for them. Did you cultivate a heart of gratitude? Celebrate that in your habit of talking to God. Make a habit to thank God for everything. David, you're going overboard with this stuff. It's not me. It's the Bible. Give thanks for everything that happens. You know 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where you get those short verses. You know Jesus wept in John 11. But you get to the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and you get these easy verses, short verses. You get the pray without ceasing verse in verse 17. And then you get to verse 18, where it says, in, New King James, in everything, give thanks. In everything? Does he mean that? If you've got the ESV, it'll say, give thanks in all circumstances. Oh, God, I wish you wouldn't have put the word all in there. All, give thanks in, God, you don't know what I'm going through. Give thanks in all situations, in everything that happens. You know, I wrote that point in this sermon on Thursday. And I thought that's a good point because, you know, that's in the Bible. That needs to be a point in this sermon. The Bible says give thanks in all circumstances. And then we walked out of the house this morning to come here and found out that somebody in the house had left the car door open all night. Somebody left the car door open outside all night. And everything, give thanks. It didn't rain last night. It didn't rain last night. So, okay, left the car door open outside all night, but it didn't rain. Good, give thanks. Right, it didn't rain. But the sprinklers ran last night. That's all right. That's okay. Because there's a sprinkler head right there next to the door that was open. Right there pops up every night. Not every night, but that's okay. It was right there next to that open door. And give thanks because the sprinklers probably only ran for 15 minutes. So it's okay. The water was only flooding the car for 15 minutes. Give thanks. It could have been 20. It could have been 30. I tell you, when I found the car door was open, I was not giving thanks for that car door being open. And if I could get my hands on the guy that left that car door open all night, I'm going to have some words with him. But then I got in the car after we tried to dry it up. By the way, we left that car sitting in the driveway this morning. With the doors open, by the way, so that the sun can dry it out. But as we got in the other car this morning to drive here, and I wasn't in the most fantastic of moods after all of that, I said to Tracy and Kelly, you know, one of the points in the sermon this morning is to give thanks for everything that happens. Really? Yeah. Give thanks we have a car. We have two cars. Give thanks that we have a house that we can go into and get a bunch of towels out of that house to come out and dry up all of this water that the sprinkler put in there. Give thanks. And everything that happens. Bad things are going to happen. Is there something you can find in there to give thanks for? James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, James 1 and verse 2. What does that mean? Your perspective is powerful. Make a habit to give thanks for everything God has done, everything He is doing, everything He will do. Keep it on your list, your journal, your gratitude journal. Here's what God has done. Here's what God is doing. Here's what I know God will do. And you think about the spectrum that's involved there and you say, there's much for me to be thankful for. Make a habit to give thanks to God for what you get to do for Him, for what you get to say for Him. Colossians chapter 3, we quote the first part of the verse, sometimes we don't quote the whole verse. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, here's a big word, whatever you do in word or deed. What does that mean? It includes everything. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the part of the verse that we quote most often, because that's a verse that says, whatever you do and whatever you say, you better have Bible authority for it. Absolutely. You know what the rest of the verse says? Giving thanks to God always through Jesus Christ. Everything I get to do and everything I get to say for Him, I need to give thanks to God that I get to do that. I need to make a habit to give thanks to God in every prayer. Sometimes our prayers are, God, here's what I need today. God, just checking in. Wanted to let you know, I haven't forgot that I asked you for this yesterday. Now I'm asking for it again today. And there's nothing wrong with petitions. God says to cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. God says to pray and ask Him for everything. Ask and it's going to be given to you. Petition, petition, petition. But make a habit for every prayer to have thanksgiving. Philippians 4 verse 16 says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Every prayer ought to have thanksgiving in it. Make a habit, final point on this slide, make a habit to give thanks to God even when it's hard. Even when somebody left the door open of the car, find a way to give thanks to God. In Acts 27, the Apostle Paul was out in the Mediterranean Sea, but he had no idea where he was. They were in the midst of a horrible storm. They shouldn't have been sailing at that time of year, but Paul's a prisoner. They wouldn't listen to him. And after 14 days of not eating anything, where would you be if you hadn't eaten for 14 days? What hospital would you be in if you hadn't eaten for 14 days? After 14 days of not eating anything, Paul prays to God. And instead of shaking his fist at God and saying, God, how dare you for letting this happen to me? Paul took some food and he held it up and he gave thanks. Everything that happens, even if it's hard, I need to find a reason to give thanks. And that's why Philippians 4 and verse 6 begins by saying, be anxious for nothing. Whatever's going on, it's going to be hard, but give thanks to God anyway. I thank, cultivate a heart of gratitude. I thank my God. Celebrate your thanksgiving, your heart of gratitude with God. Talk to God. Give thanks to Him. Last two words, very quickly. I thank my God for you. And this is where it gets very personal, where we need to communicate our gratitude with each other. Not just with God, do that, but with each other. And so that's what the Apostle Paul did. And so here's all of those verses that we had at the beginning of the sermon. Here's all of those times in Paul's letters where Paul is giving thanks to God for his brethren. And you might say, well, David, that's all he's doing. He's just talking to God. He's just talking to God about his brethren. And he's, well, that's true. He's talking to God and thanking God about his brethren. But when he sits down, listen, when he sits down and writes the letter, and he says, I am thanking God for you, Paul is now expressing his gratitude to the people he's writing to. He had spent time in his prayer closet thanking God for them, and then he stepped outside of his prayer closet and took his pen out and he said, I just thank God for you. Vertical expression and then a horizontal expression. To let his brethren know how much he loved them, how much they meant to him, and how thankful he was for them. Brethren, we must create a habit, a heart within us that says to people, thank you. Thank you. We need to tell people thank you for big things that they do. We need to tell people thank you for little things that they do. We need to tell individuals thank you, not just for the things that we think about, but we need to tell them thank you when it's somebody that probably doesn't hear that very often. Maybe it's somebody that's not out front, not always noticed. I don't know about you, but I find it fun trying to tell people thank you who probably never hear thank you. You go to the mall, you eat at the food court at the mall, and there's always the people in the food court at the mall who are going around cleaning up after the people eating in the food court at the mall and emptying the garbage cans. Is it fun for you to go and tell those people thank you for what you're doing? How often do you think they hear that? Are they the overlooked individuals? Are they the individuals that are underappreciated for, oh, it's their job to, okay. But you like to be thanked for doing your job, don't you? Find those people out in the world who may not always hear thank you and make a habit of telling them thank you. Don't just do it at Chick-fil-A so you can make them say, "You're my pleasure." I mean, some of you go to Chick-fil-A and you say it 10 times just so you can force the person to say, "My pleasure," 10 times. Aha, I made you say it again. Good. Make a habit to say it to everybody. Thank you for what you're doing. We need to say it inside of our homes. Husbands, you need to tell your wives, thank you. Wives, you need to tell your husbands, thank you. Children, you need to tell your mom and dad, thank you. We need to tell our friends, thank you. We need to tell total strangers, thank you. We need to come into this church, not just inside the building, but inside of this fellowship, inside of this family, and we need to tell each other, thank you. The reason we're changing up the way we're doing the lunch in 2 weeks and trying to make it easier. By the way, when you take these pans to make your mac and cheese and to make the bread, and not make the bread, but bring the bread, make the green vegetable, we want you to bring your food back in those trays. Don't bring it back in your casserole dish. We don't want your casserole dish. We want it brought back in those aluminum trays. You know why? Because we want it easy for our kitchen crew that day to take those things, throw them away so they can get back in here to worship God. Too often they're in there washing your casserole dishes, and we don't tell them thank you for being in there washing all of those dishes, cleaning up after us. We need to get inside of this family and say thank you. Parents, you need to tell these individuals who are teaching your children the Bible, who are preparing these Bible lessons to teach your kids. You drop your kids off and you smile when you walk away to go to your Bible class in peace and quiet. You need to tell those teachers, thank you. Thank you for teaching my kids the eternal principles of God. We need to find reasons to give thanks to people in this church. Not just the big things, but even for the little things. We need to thank the kids in this church. We need to go overboard in encouraging them. We can do that in person, face to face, give them thanks. That's valuable for somebody to hear it and to see it on your face. We can do it in text messages. And I would encourage you to make a habit of sending text messages that say thank you. But that handwritten note, there's just something about it. There's something about a handwritten note that just says thank you for what you're doing. I walked in my office a couple weeks ago, and I know who did it, but he didn't sign his name. But he had taped a sign on the carpet of my floor that said, thank you. That was it, just those two words. I know the culprit. I know who did it. But do you know what those two words mean? We need to hear those words. We need to say those words because those words benefit both parties. They benefit the one hearing it, and they benefit the one saying it. And we need to say it because it's contagious. When you're sowing seeds of gratitude, guess what? Those seeds are going to crop up. More gratitude. And the further we can spread the gratitude, the wider it is going to go in this church, in our family, in our workplace, in our school, in our neighborhoods, in our world. And it's just fun. It's fun to say thank you to people who aren't expecting to hear thank you. In whatever way that you can do it. Brethren, can we do this? Can we cultivate this heart, celebrate it with God, and then communicate it especially to each other and in our homes? As you think about where you are today in your relationship with God, one of the verses that was on the screen earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15 says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. When you think about Jesus leaving heaven and coming to this earth and sacrificing Himself on our behalf so that we could go to heaven with Him, thanks be to God. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Thank you, God, for your plan of salvation. Thank you, God, for creating heaven for me. And thank you, God, for telling me how to get there. God, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to get to heaven? I need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Thank you, God, for telling me that. Thank you for telling me I need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And God says that I need to repent of my sins. Don't stay in my sins. Make up my mind I want to get away from my sins and turn my life in the direction of God. Thank you, God, for telling me that. God says if you're ready to make that decision, you can confess the faith that's in your heart and you need to be baptized. So that at that moment, not before, that at that moment, you might arise and be baptized and wash away all of your sins. Can you imagine Saul of Tarsus hearing those words from Ananias, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, and Saul of Tarsus saying to Ananias, thank you. I've been waiting 3 days to hear what I needed to do. Thank you for telling me. If you're sitting here today and you've never done this, why don't you be baptized today? Have all of your sins washed away. Be added to the Lord's family. Have your name written in heaven. Be raised to walk in newness of life. The very verse that Victor read for us this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Be steadfast, immovable, to be always abounding in His work. Are you doing that? Are you one of His children? Are you abounding in thanksgiving for being able to be a faithful Christian. If you need to get your life right with Him, come to Jesus right now as together we stand and sing.